Well, hello everybody. This is our video for Tuesday, May 26th. I hope everybody had a really good Memorial Day weekend. I have a couple quick announcements that I gotta make before we dive into our topic. First off, I want to encourage you to continue to be praying for the people down a little bit downstate in Midland. Be praying for them with all the flooding they've had. And I want to encourage you, especially just be lifting up them. And there's a church there that is a sister church of ours. I believe it's called First Baptist Church. But it belongs to the same denomination that we do. And they've kind of become a center for housing people and for distributing goods to people and for helping people with all the damage and trying to move through the recovery. And so the deacons and I approved $750. From our benevolent account to go down to that church to be used to help people with food and with water and with shelter and providing the necessities for people. But they're also asking for supplies like fans and water and other things. And they're asking for workers, people who are willing to come down and help clean out areas or clean things or just clean up roadways, whatever it may be. And I have the contact information for that church. And so if you are interested about helping out, get a hold of me and I'll get you their contact information. But be praying for the folks down in Midland, especially for the believers, not only that God would protect them, but that God would use them and use this whole flooding as an opportunity to share the gospel. If you don't have Christ and your house is dry, then you don't have anything. It doesn't matter. So be praying for them. The second thing is, if you didn't see our video on Sunday, our plan is to open up the church this coming Sunday, the 31st. And so we are going to be doing that together, and we are inviting everybody to come. We have done some things to try to mitigate the risk that we have for people. So we have moved all of the rows 6 feet apart so people can maintain social distancing. We're asking people to sit outside of your family unit, so your family can sit next to each other, but outside of your family unit to sit 4 chairs apart from everybody else to help keep the 6-foot barrier to help keep people safe. We are asking, at least for the first few weeks, that everyone wear a mask other than small children. So please keep that in mind, and we will have masks at the door. And so if you forget or you don't have one, don't worry, we got you covered, but we encourage you to come. And we're not going to be passing any plates. There's going to be buckets for the offering when you leave the worship center that you could drop your offering out. And we're going to be dismissing people by rows. These are things that we're going to do to try to keep the social distancing intact and to honor the government that is above us in the recommendations that they have given for the public health. And so we want to do that as best we can. And in light of that, we're going to be spending my 2 videos this week talking about love, talking about how love should impact the way in which we get back together in the midst of this COVID-19 crisis. Now, before I move any further, I want to thank Pastor Michael. I love the lighting in his office when he does his videos, and I think he gets a little closer than I do, but I just love it. And so I wanted to try one of my videos in his office. And so I hope that, or I want to thank him for that. I know that usually a kid who's, you know, born and raised in Michigan has some different loyalties, but I guess when it comes to sports, to each his own. But I want to thank Michael for letting me use his office, even though usually he doesn't let people into his office until he's changed some things around, which I don't really understand, but whatever. Anyways, luckily my key and the office key to my office and his office is the same thing. So that's great-ish. Anyways, I hope that everyone's doing well. And again, I want to talk to you about love. And I want to do this kind of quickly today. So I want to talk about it, and I want you to consider 1 John 3:23. And in 1 John 3:23, we have this command that's given to us or reiterated to us by the Apostle John. It says this is his command, meaning Jesus's command. This is Jesus's command for all believers. to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. So notice that there's two points there. He doesn't just say that these are the commands of Christ, and here's the most important, and here's the next important. No. He says, here's the command, singular, of Christ, and then he gives us two things. And what that tells us is that these two things can't be separated. In other words, I can't do one of them and say that I've done it, that I've obeyed the command, singular, of God. I have to do both of them to do that. And oftentimes, especially us Christians, we have a tendency to emphasize the most important thing is to believe in Jesus Christ. And that is vitally important. But as James says, faith without deeds is dead. It's not true faith. And so John here says that we are to believe in the name of Jesus, or of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. In other words, we cannot believe in Jesus rightly if we do not love rightly. So what does it mean to love one another well? What does it mean to love as he has commanded us to? And today I want to talk about love in thought. And we're going to look at our actions, how we love with deeds on Thursday. But today I want us to look at how we love in our minds. Because our minds are in a sense, the seat of where all of our actions flow from. And so first I want to remind you that our love, if we're to love as he has commanded us, well, what does that mean? What does that look like? First off, our love has to be honest. Romans 12:9 says, love must be sincere. Literally, it must be genuine. Or you could translate this as love, or let love be without hypocrisy. The point here is that we are to love without falsehood, without hypocrisy. Our love is supposed to be sincere. And I know that it's easy just to say, yes, I love you. It's much harder to love someone. To love people who are rude, maybe spiritually immature, maybe selfish, maybe foolish, maybe hurtful. But we are called to love, not in a thoughtless way, or not love in a way that is without being genuine. We are to love truly and faithfully and rightly. In other words, we're not just supposed to say we love someone, we are to honestly and genuinely love them. The second thing is that our love must mirror Christ's love for us. If we're to love as Christ has commanded us to, then we have to understand that our love is to be mirrored by, to be matched by, to be evaluated by the love that he has shown to us. John 15:12 says, my command, Jesus says, my command is this, love one another as I have loved you. We are to love each other, not just seeing who we are, not just looking at each other and evaluating each other based upon that. That's not how God loves us. God loves us and sees us. He knows who we are, but he looks at Christ. He sees what Christ has purchased for us. He sees that Christ has redeemed us. He sees what Christ intends to do with us, to make us into. And he sees how Christ has moved us from where we began to where we presently are. When we look at people, we have a tendency to just kind of assume that they've always been the way they are. But oftentimes we forget that some people, even though we may look at them and say, that person's really immature, it's hard for us to know that unless we know where they started. We need to look at people and love people as we have been looked at and loved. We need to look at people and not just see who they are, but also look to Christ in faith and look to the person that Christ seeks to make them into. We are to always assume the best of others, especially believers. and to see them in all that Christ has already done with them and all that he plans to do with them for the kingdom. He promises that if he began a good work in us, he'll carry it out into completion in Philippians 1:6. So when we look at another person, we're not just supposed to see who they are, but we're supposed to show them love and grace in light of Christ, in light of what Christ has redeemed them from, in light of what Christ has, how Christ has changed them, in light of what Christ is going to do in the future with them. 1 Corinthians 13. Is kind of described as the chapter of love. And in verses 4 through 7, it kind of gives us this broad definition of love. And it says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. John MacArthur once said that these few verses, verses 4 through 7, basically state that love always assumes the best of a brother or sister in Christ because of Christ. Love always trusts in others and assumes the best of them. And this is really important for us to get. It's important for us to get, sorry about the phone call. It's important for us to get because we need to understand that we're going to be coming back together soon. And maybe we would have a tendency to be more upset than is appropriate when we see and get back together with people who think differently than we do about certain aspects of life. You see, we are to love with sincerity and love in a mirroring way in the way in which Christ has loved us. And when we come together again, when we gather together to worship, there are going to be people other than us there. People with other thoughts on the virus, with other health issues that you don't have and you don't have to consider, with others who don't have the same concerns that you have or don't have. My point is that we have a tendency to judge and hate instead of to hope and love. Now, when I go to Walmart, you know, they put these new things to kind of help keep us separated. And one of them is that they put these markers on the floor to tell you that basically all the aisles are now one-way aisles. So you can go down one way and then go up another way, but you can't go both in the aisles, right? So I do my best to follow the rules. And I would try hard not to go down the wrong way down one of these aisles. I would do my best. But sometimes I would go the wrong way. And I would realize it midway, and I would shrug my shoulders and go, well, it's all right, it's not a big deal, it was just a mistake. Or I would look down an aisle, and I would see, okay, I can't go down this aisle, but I only have to go two steps to get to what I need. Do I really need to circle all the way around and come back to it? And I would cheat, and I would take two steps down, and take what I need, and then go. But either way, I would say to myself, it's not that big of a deal. I'm gonna try my best to obey the rules. But when I see other people going down the wrong aisle, I have a tendency with them not to give them the benefit of the doubt. I'm prone not to be gracious to other people in the same way that I'm gracious to myself. I'm prone to assume the worst of other people when they do something that bothers me. I'm prone to judge. And friends, my experience is that I am not the only one who does this. We are all often willing to extend grace to ourselves when we do something, whether it be speeding or whether it be littering or whether it be the vocabulary we use or whether it be the way we do our taxes or whether it be how we shop or whatever it may be. We're willing to extend grace to ourselves when we do something, but when someone else does that very same thing, we're less willing or less inclined to offer them the same grace that we offer to ourselves. In other words, we tend not to give people the grace that God has extended toward us. When we love each other well, we make it hard for people to offend us. We refuse to judge and criticize. We show grace when someone is in the wrong, and we always and only confront in love, because we have decided in our minds that we are going to view everyone, that we are going to put glasses on over our eyes so that we view people through Christ, and we assume the best of them, and we give them the benefit of the doubt, and we trust in them. There are hundreds of opinions about all kinds of different things. Take masks, for example. Some people think that everyone should wear a mask. Some people think the very opposite of that, and there are hundreds of different views in between those two polar ends. Our different opinions don't really matter, though. What matters is how we consider people who differ from us. This is really important, because when we get back together, there are going to be some people who are going to really be struggling with the fact that they're being told to wear a mask. Are we going to be gracious to them and love them where they are at? And there are going to be other people who are going to be really, really uncomfortable when anything happens around them that makes them feel nervous or anxious that they're going to catch the virus. I mean, we have to realize there are going to be people coughing and sneezing. It's allergy season. And we need to be able to have make the wise assumption with other people and not assume that because someone coughed or because somebody sneezed, that doesn't mean that they have the virus. It could just simply mean that they have the flu, or that they have a cold, or that they have allergies. We need to assume the best of other people. And that doesn't mean that we don't have to take private precautions. If I'm worried about getting sick, I need to make sure that I wear my mask, that I keep my social distancing, that I protect myself. That's all fine. But when you see someone not doing what you want to do, what you think is best, how do you perceive them in your mind? Are we willing to assume the best of one another, even when we disagree? Are we willing to love people as God has loved us? You see, true love assumes the best. When we look at others, it is going to be important to love people sincerely with our thoughts of them, no matter where they fall. Because every other sin that we commit starts in our mind, starts in our heart. Now, on Thursday, we're going to look at what it looks like with our actions, how we act in ways of love toward one another. But first, I wanted you to just take some time to consider, how do you assume, what are the assumptions you make of someone when they do something different than you do as it relates to COVID-19 or anything else, especially believers? We need to be willing to show gracious love to one another. We need to view people through the glasses of the gospel, to love them as we have been loved, to assume the best of them as Christ is working in them and transforming in them, and that they, like us, are yet still not perfect. Let me encourage you to take some time and consider how you view others. And on Thursday, we'll talk about then how we act toward others. Let's try to love well as we get together. Let's begin by loving each other well in our minds. See you on Thursday.